Hello, everyone. I just wanted to give a quick note before we begin the episode and tell you that at the end of this episode will be a story from one of our listeners. So listen to the very end to hear a creepy tale from one of your kind. Welcome to the cemetery. I'm former gravedigger Nathan Barnett from spooky old New England, and you're listening to Grave Stories. Hi. Hi, everyone. Right now, as you're listening, there are 94 people watching me record this. I'm doing a stream on Twitch. I just started Twitch, FYI, if you guys didn't know. It's called The Nathan Station. It coincides with my Discord. I hope you're in there as well. Nathan Station. And I'm doing this one live right now, and then I'm going to edit it and put it together for episode 3 of season 2 of Grave Stories. I'm reading from my favorite book in the world for two reasons, because these took place where I grew up, or not far from where I grew up, on Nantucket Island in Massachusetts. And these stories are amazing. That's the second reason. I love every story. They're all really good. This woman did a great job of collecting these stories from the people who experienced them. So it's a story, as you can see, as the live audience can see, I'll hold the book up. It has ripped and broken apart into many pieces because I've handled it so much and read it so much. I read these years ago on old streams on YouTube. I'm doing it now on Twitch, and I'm using them for the episodes of this recorded audio podcast. So I don't think I've done this story or tale, true story. I don't think I've done this true story, which is titled Heart. So that's what we're going to do first in the episode today. And I can't quite remember the second one, but I'll tell you when I start that one. But before we get into all of that, I would like to thank the listeners who've been sending stories in of their own. I don't know who was in this episode because I haven't edited it together yet, but whoever you were, thank you very much. Mel Drummis did one last week. Thank you very much, Mel Drummis, for telling us of all the spooky things you've experienced, or two of them at least. And thank you to everyone who does send more audio tales of what they've had happen in their lives. And now, I'm doing a fast intro here. I'm just going to get right into it after a message from our sponsor.
One sugar-free gum has flavor that really goes the distance.
Extra flavor. Extra fun. Extra sugar-free gum. Extra flavor that keeps going strong. Extra flavor that lasts extra long. When you're chewing extra, the extra fresh flavor lasts an extra, extra, extra long time.
Extra lasts extra long.
Welcome back, everyone. Using these old commercials could be risky, but luckily, I'm not making a cent off this podcast, so you can't sue me. I'm giving you free advertising. Thanks for listening, everybody. There is currently a live audience watching me on Twitch right now, and they've heard two stories already that, in my opinion, stunk. So we're now, 2 hours later, going to read I Switched Books. I'm reading more true stories. This is actually a famous one the chat is telling me. This is from Hannah J. Tidy's book titled Ghost Stories, a compilation of horrifyingly real ghost stories and truly disturbing hauntings and paranormal stories. Here's the cover. It's spooky, spooky, creepy kid, because that's what freaks us out nowadays, with long, dark hair covering your face, sitting in the woods. This story is about the doll named Annabelle, and everyone in the chat says this is a famous story. So hopefully this is actually scary and not just statistics and factual information about Connecticut and the mayor, because that's what I've been getting in the other stories, and I'm disappointed because I was reading from my favorite book, Nantucket Ghosts, and that book has never let me down before. But now I was failed, and I apologize to the live streaming chat. But you guys in the podcast audience don't have to hear all that nonsense. You just get to hear the good stuff. And the first story is hopefully good, and it's titled A Hardly Amusing Toy. So here we go. This is what this one is all about. If that was your first time hearing about Robert the Doll, which we didn't read about, then perhaps you might have heard of Annabelle. Arguably more famous than Robert's, the story of Annabelle is yet another terrifying collection of accounts and legends revolving around a particular doll. However, peculiar doesn't even come close to doing her justice. Oh man, this one's not gonna be good. Oh boy, this is gonna freak me out. Oh, and thank you. The live chat is letting me know right now. I just hit 666 followers on Twitch. This is my second live stream. Thank you for everyone. A spooky number for a spooky evening. Thank you very much. On our way to 1,000. Let's read this story. Just like Robert, Annabelle was an inspiration for an array of horror movies, particularly The Conjuring and Annabelle. From 2014 and 2017, it's the sequel, 2017. Annabelle is a doll made after Raggedy Ann, who was a female character in a children's picture book series that started in 1918 in the U.S., with toy dolls entering production a couple of years prior. The toy doll itself may come across as reasonably creepy depending on how you perceive it, especially when you know the story behind it. Objectively, however, there is nothing particularly striking about its appearance. It's a regular toy doll created in fashion of its time. It's around foot in height, has two large round eyes with dilated pupils, a triangular nose, and it's wearing an old-fashioned white nightdress. The legend of the haunted Annabelle doll is also a more recent tale, as it starts around the year 1970. A girl named Donna, who was studying to become a nurse at the time, was given Annabelle as a birthday present that year by her mother. Reportedly, the doll was something of an antique and was bought previously at a store. Donna lived with a roommate by the name of Angie, who also studied for the same profession in college. The two women lived in a small apartment that they rented out together. Most of what we know about the possessed Annabelle comes from the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine, who are famous for their investigations into the paranormal. There were other reports of Annabelle hauntings besides the girls, Donna and Angie, as well as Lou, who was friends with the two women who kept the doll at their apartment. As the story has it, those who come into contact with Annabelle regularly would swear that the doll moved around on its own. I'm getting goosebumps already. Sometimes had what appeared to be bloodstains on its hands or dress, and even left written messages. These letters would read, "Help us," or "Help Lou." I have so many goosebumps right now, like all over my arms. In the early stages of the ordeal, though, the perceived incidents would be much milder. Donna and Angie would often come back home confident of where they had last left her to find that Annabelle had moved to a different place or even completely migrated outside of the room she was left in. That's creepy. In a terrifying experience, Donna returned home and saw that Annabelle had moved onto her bed. As strange as that may sound, she had grown somewhat accustomed to the quirkiness surrounding her doll and didn't take that possibility of her moving around too seriously. However, on this particular occasion, upon further investigation, Donna discovered what appeared to be droplets of blood, or at least a similar substance, both on her hands and her body. This time, Donna was quite distraught by what she had seen, and she got in contact with whom she thought was the most appropriate, a medium to the spiritual realm. So she scheduled a session in hopes of obtaining some answers. I'm gonna pause real quick. I wonder if this is all the work of like one of their friends that's just like really good at pranking and let go in their house and move the thing around when they weren't there. And they never found out, and they like lost their minds, and it became this famous story in all these movies because one dude was really good at pranking. I mean, that would be an explanation, but I like to think this doll was possessed. The medium attempted to establish communication with any spirits that may have attached themselves to the doll. According to what the medium discovered, the ghost of a girl called Annabelle Higgins possessed the doll. This girl was 7 years old when found dead in the same area Donna's residential build stood. The medium explained to Donna that the spirit of the little girl wanted to be taken care of and nurtured by Donna and her roommate. The story touched her, and she decided that she could live with this and keep Annabelle. What? what? She's like, oh, all right, that's nice. Shut up. That's the worst decision. Okay, ghost, baby, you're my child now. Stop bringing blood in the house, and I'll feed you. This is insane. There's something's wrong with Donna. Dang, man. That's not the reaction I expected. Since the very beginning, when Donna first received Annabelle from her mother, Lou objected that the thing had a malicious nature about it, and he advised Donna to do away with it. Okay, so I thought he objected that it had something malicious about it, but I guess he's objecting and thinks it has a malicious nature. Okay, the sentence confused me. However, Donna grew rather fond of the doll and became attached to it because she's becoming possessed too. The doll is controlling her mind. I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. So she paid little heed to what her friend was saying. She especially wanted to keep it after the medium told her the story about the Higgins girl. It wasn't long until Lou began to have his paranormal run-ins with Annabelle. Dude, Lou's not into the doll, so the doll is not into Lou. Dude, Lou's going down. It started with him having reoccurring nightmares, haunted by Annabelle in various ways. One especially horrifying experience he had with the doll was when he woke up in the middle of the night from another one of his nightly terrors. He found himself unable to move whatsoever. All he could do was look around the room while having a feeling of terrible dread. He didn't see anything at first, but when he looked down, his body... he saw Annabelle at his feet. Shut up, shut up. Oh my gosh, my arms are covered in goosebumps. She crawled along his legs and got to his chest where she began to strangle him. Still, he was utterly helpless and unable to move as the doll was suffocating him. Panicking and struggling to draw a breath, Lou passed out at that point. When he woke up in the morning, he remained confident that this was no dream. Okay, well, when you end the sentence with, when he woke up in the morning, and he wasn't dead, well, I think the guy was just having a really good nightmare, and in the nightmare, he thought he woke up, but it was still dreaming. All right, Lou, I'm not so into your story right now. Something better happen. If you are familiar with the phenomenon of sleep paralysis, yeah, this next sentence literally explains what happened to him. You probably think that Lou's experience has a lot in common with the stories of people who have experienced the same. Yes, I do. Hallucinations, horror, and asphyxiation are common in all the reports. Also, if this guy is a person who's afraid of the doll, he's probably someone who's just kind of paranoid and freaked out by a lot of things, and he's prone to having nightmares like this. So I think he did it to himself. It's certainly logical to assume that this was what Lou had experienced, especially if this was his only direct contact with the possessed doll. It wasn't. Oh boy, here we go. That was just the appetizer, everybody. For instance, the stories also say that Lou and Angie sometimes later were alone in their apartment going over their plans for an upcoming road trip and mapping out their route. The silence that kept them company until then was suddenly interrupted by unusual noises coming from Donna's bedroom, who was out at the time. Lou decided to investigate. He slowly snuck his way up to the door, listening without going inside. When the noise stopped, he barged in to find nothing out of the ordinary except the doll sitting in the corner. He inspected the room thoroughly for any signs of a break-in, but nothing seemed broken. I have goosebumps, like, this whole story. This one is freaking me out, and it seems so silly, but it's really freaking me out. He inspected the room thoroughly for any signs of a break-in, but nothing seemed broken, misplaced, or tampered with in any way. However, a strange feeling came over him. Oh, yeah, I hate this. But, wait a second. He had a bad feeling. Ooh, come on. Give me something better than that. Something crazy better happen. However, a strange feeling came over him as soon as he stepped closer to Annabelle. Yeah, because the guy's afraid of the doll. Great, of course that's going to happen. And he felt inclined to check if someone was behind him. As soon as he turned around, he was shocked by a pain in his chest. He realized he was slashed across his chest area, bleeding. What? He saw blood on his shirt and a few cuts that appeared as if claws inflicted them. Allegedly, these slash marks healed right away within the next 2 days. Wait, did that blood really happen and show up on his shirt? And did his friend see it? I need more information than that. This incident led them to seek help once again, and even Donna began to suspect that, if indeed possessed, Annabelle was much more malicious than initially believed. She started thinking there is an evil presence within Annabelle, and not the ghost of a girl who was just wanting to be cared for and loved. Soon after that, she sought help from a priest who forwarded the report to one of his superiors, Father Cook. Cook got in touch with the couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren, the paranormal investigators mentioned earlier. The Warrens established contact with Donna. They discussed the details of the case and all its in all its incidents. Based on their experience in the dealing with the paranormal, they explained what they felt was happening with Annabelle. They told Donna that struggling human spirits generally don't possess objects. Instead, they wander and haunt other locations, but when they do, they possess specific people. Furthermore, they said what was at play here was a fierce spirit, a demonic presence, as these forces are what can take hold of an object. The evil spirits use this as a temporary solution in their process of finding a human soul to take hold of. In this case, the soul that this demon coveted was Donna's. Dun dun dun. So Donna is possessed, not the doll. So the doll has nothing to do with this? Is that what I'm supposed to be understanding from this? This is really cool. I like this story. I've heard of Annabelle. I feel like I've heard that's a movie, but I don't know really anything more about it. We only got about a page and a half left. These are pretty quick. I like this. This book's good. It's right to the point. This is what I want. Spooky stuff right away. All right, here we go. Maybe this is probably old news to all of you who've like watched the movies and heard about this, but it's new to me. The Warrens scheduled a time for their visit to Donna's apartment, and Father Cook went along too. At the scene, he agreed with the Warrens to perform an exorcism ritual in an attempt to banish the demonic spirit from the apartment and hopefully the doll itself. The Warrens conducted the exorcism through the proper rites and recitations. Still, the Warrens asked Donna to let go of the toy doll and let them take it just in case the exorcism didn't work. Donna agreed, and this was the time when the Warrens first took possession of the troublesome toy. Oh boy, something's gonna happen. They brought it with them, and according to the Warrens, took precautions for their safety, such as avoiding the highway on their way home. As they further told, their suspicions proved right, and the doll continued to be possessed by the dark force. The couple reported having minor but strange problems with their car not long after they departed. Dude, why would you take this thing in your car? Why? Why would you do that? Just burn the thing. Can't you just like burn it and throw the ashes in the ocean? The doll was taken to the Warren household, which is where they intended to keep it. Why? However, they reported that Annabelle brought strange happenings to their home. Well, duh! You knew this was going to happen. However, they reported that Annabelle brought strange happenings to their home in much of the same ways that she did while Donna kept her. At one point, they brought in another priest. They brought in another doll, a WWE Ultimate Warrior action figure, to fight Annabelle. At one point, they brought in another priest and asked him to attempt an exorcism on Annabelle, which he did. Reportedly, the priest didn't take the possessed doll seriously, despite Ed's warnings. On his way home, however, the priest lost control of his car and went straight into a busy intersection, totaling his vehicle and putting him within the edge of his life. Dude. Lorraine said that she warned him to drive carefully on his way home, only to receive a call later informing her of what had occurred. As for the exorcism, it didn't seem to have any long-lasting effects. Ultimately, the Warrens decided to confine the haunted doll once and for all. A special glass case was built with a roof and a cross on top. Oh, because, you know, glass can stop poltergeists, I guess. With a cross on top resembling a church. This case houses Annabelle in the Warren's Occult Museum in Monroe, Connecticut. Wow, just down the road from me in Massachusetts, which the couple manages. There is also a warning sign on the case that reads, "Warning, positively do not open." Oh, along with numerous other trophies and artifacts that the Warrens collected in their line of work dealing with the paranormal. Annabelle is there on display, and visitors from all over can see her. If you happen to visit the occult museum one day, tread lightly regardless of whether or not you believe the legend as told by the Warrens. There is a story of a particularly skeptical young man who was very confident and outspoken in his disbelief of Annabelle's haunting. He allegedly demanded from Ed for the doll to cut him just as the toy doll had cut Lou, but nothing happened. The young man then left with his girlfriend on their motorcycle. The girl later said that they were laughing about the story when the motorcycle spiraled out of control and they crashed into a tree, leaving the man dead at the scene and landing the young woman in the hospital. What? Dude, everyone gets in a car accident after this. Of course, you should always take stories as freaky as this with a healthy dose of skepticism, and everybody is right to do so. However, it is perhaps best not to push one's luck and challenge the unseen forces that may well exist, forces that we do not understand. Dude, that's a pretty good one. I like that. That's pretty wild. Like, as I say, that could be coincidence that everyone was getting in car accidents. But that's a lot of car accidents in connection with this doll. Unless these people were just laughing so hard about the doll that the guy was just not looking at the road and he crashed. And that's what killed him. But technically, still the doll, I guess. That story was a hardly amusing toy in Hannah J. Tidy's book of real life ghost stories. And this book is just literally titled Ghost Stories. All right, got a good one. All right, after we take one more commercial break, we'll read another. So stay tuned, everybody.
Things are happening every day. There's always something new. As I grow, it's good to know. I can still turn to you.
Story two, everyone. We're going to be working backwards in the book. I'm going to read the other doll story about the doll Robert from Hannah J. Tidy's book titled Ghost Stories, a compilation of horrifying true ghost stories. Apparently, this is a story right before the Annabelle one, and apparently the chat who's watching this live right now on my Twitch, follow me on Twitch, The Nathan Station. Also get in my Discord, The Nathan, or just Nathan Station. discord.gg/NathanStation, everyone. This one is pretty creepy too, people are saying. And this story is titled When Dolls Stop Being Toys. And I guess this will be another factual account, or I guess retelling of all the key things that happened with this doll, Robert. I've heard of Annabelle, I've never heard of Robert. So hopefully it's good. It seems to be a bit longer. Maybe it's about the same. It seems like it's almost 2 pages longer than Annabelle. So maybe there's some juicy stuff in this. It turns out this episode is about the haunted doll. So it gives me a theme. All right, here we go. Piper G says, the real Robert is so creepy looking. Oh man, I need to Google Robert after reading this. Everyone listening should check out Robert. Wait, is Robert based on a real person? All right, let's just get into the story. All right, here we go. Just like our previous story, see, I'm reading this book backwards, but I will tell the audience listening, I did scribble back in the book, and the previous story is called The Haunted eBay Painting, which sounds ridiculous, but I gotta read that one sometime. This haunted eBay painting is what they're referencing here. Just like our previous story, this one refers to a cursed, haunted object. The difference, however, is that if the legends are correct, this object is much more than just that. The stories revolving around Robert often go beyond merely attributing a strange aura to the doll or mentioning how it made people feel uncomfortable. People have accused Robert of everything from breaking a few household items to causing car crashes and, most disturbingly, of being alive and very malicious. The home of Robert the Doll has been Key West in the state of Florida, where he has lived for over 100 years thus far. Wow, that's old. He is currently in Fort East Martello Museum since 1994. We'll go over the events that led to him finding the home there later on. Even if you haven't heard the story, odds are you've seen at least one or a few films that were inspired by the legend of Robert. Really? I don't know what they are. Oh, is it Child's Play? Yeah, I can see. Okay, this influenced Child's Play. That's interesting. There are at least a couple of them explicitly titled after the doll's name. Other similar movies were, at the very least, drawing subtle inspiration from the legend. Films such as the famous Chucky doll from Child's Play carry a similar theme. While Chucky had a very strikingly creepy look about him, Robert may not come across as all that scary to some at first, as this eeriness is more subtle. However, even if he looks just like an ordinary doll at first glance, no doubt you will begin to see him for his actual unsettling appearance after a while of observing him. He's quite a large doll at around 3 feet in height. Oh, that's really tall. That's like a child, resembling a little boy. Oh, literally the next sentence. Resembling a little boy in average size. Overall, though, there is very little except his basic humanoid shape that makes Robert look like a human being. His minimalistic facial features make him look quite disfigured, and not in a cute way either. Oh, disfigured in a cute way. I don't know what that would even be, but Robert doesn't have it, everybody. Robert has a barely noticeable nose and two completely round, small black eyes. His ears are quite pronounced, and his strange mouth appears to give off a subtle smirk. In his lap, he keeps his toy, a stuffed toy representation of a dog. And you guessed it, the dog looks somewhat strange as well, with big, glaring eyes and a disproportionately large mouth. Robert himself is dressed in a white sailor suit, wearing a sailor's cap, which some speculate was worn by his original famous owner when he was a young... Oh gosh, I know a car just backfired outside and it freaked me out. I'm on edge right now. These stories are actually kind of freaking me out. Robert himself is dressed in a white sailor suit and wearing a sailor's cap, which some speculate was worn by his original famous owner when he was a boy. The man in question was Robert Eugene Otto, who lived in a large Victorian-style house, which came to be known as the artist house since Robert Eugene was a painter. Otto died in 1974, and he was the other half of this story. Oh, dude, this is what's going to make it really scary. Real people make things scary because they can do real scary things. All right, here we go. You can trace the inception of Robert back to the year 1906. That's when the doll was first given to Otto by either his grandfather or his nanny, who originated from the Bahamas. These constitute the two different tales of how Otto first got his doll, and they vary from one source to the next. The first story of origin states that the doll was brought home by Otto's grandfather from a trip to Germany and given to the boy on his birthday. Since the doll is property of a museum for over two decades now, they did their research and supposedly traced Robert as having been manufactured by Steiff, a German-based toy company. This fact verifies the first story of Robert's origins. However, there is a different story as to where Robert came from, which many people believe is the correct origin. Months before Robert Eugene Otto was born, his mother asked his father, Mr. Otto, to go to the Bahamas and bring home four servants to help around the house. She instructed him to ensure that one of them is a woman who would serve as a babysitter for little Otto once he was born. However, Mr. Otto allegedly proved entirely untrustworthy during his trip, and he got the soon-to-be nanny pregnant. Oh, dude. This incident infuriated Mrs. Otto, and she cruelly punished the native woman by keeping her locked inside their outhouse for the night. Oh my God, I have to read this over. This is insane, and I can't read, and I'm freaked out. Dude, this story is demented. This is a good story. I'm very happy we're reading this. Thank you, everyone in the stream chat, for telling me to read this. This incident infuriated Mrs. Otto, and she cruelly punished the native woman by keeping her locked inside their outhouse for the 9 months of her pregnancy, feeding her very scarcely. Due to this malnourishment, her baby was very frail after birth and only lived to be 2 months of age. Okay, I don't mean to be taking so much joy from this because I absolutely hate this and this is depressing that someone actually lived through this and I don't like that that actually existed. But I was not expecting any of this, so it's like freaking me out. And I've been reading so many boring stories tonight that you guys have not heard and I've edited out. And I'm very excited to be scared. So I'm having many mixed feelings of sorrow, sadness, general goosebumps. Wow, this is dark. Okay, let's continue. Despite this shameful event, Mrs. Otto maintained the servants at their home, giving the foreign women her predetermined role as a nanny. Regardless of the past, the woman took good care of young Robert Eugene and grew incredibly fond of him, treating him as if he was her son. Okay, many things to unpack here. This poor woman, first of all, these people are slaves. I can't believe this is actually happening. What year was this? Could they? This was like 1906, wasn't it? Did they have slaves then still? That was still a thing? This poor people, these poor slaves, I won't get into all that, but we all know this is like sickening and disgusting, and I hate that that happened on this planet. Then the woman's kid dies, and now she's taking care of the woman who's capturing her, and caring for her kid. If I was a woman, I would probably have this rage and anger towards this woman's child, and probably want to kill it because my own baby is dead. But I guess you never know what people go through in trauma, and now she's attaching herself to this kid, which is going to lead to way more crazy stuff. This must be a movie as well. This is insane. I can't believe this is true. The situation at the household seemed reasonable for a while, and things appeared to move along frequently. This situation continued until a particular incident made Mrs. Otto furious, ultimately leading her to banish her four servants. On one occasion, she went outside during the night and stumbled upon a frightened scene. She witnessed her servants carrying out a ritual that was an established custom in the Santiera religion. This faith incorporates elements of voodoo and animal sacrifice. They were slaughtering a chicken as their offering in the course of this ritual. Mrs. Otto was repulsed and ordered her servants to leave the premises the first thing in the morning. Since she had become very attached to young Otto, the nanny tried to convince her mistress not to separate them, but her efforts were futile. After a farewell gift, the Bahamian women made a doll for the young boy, and he was allowed to keep it as a toy. Whichever of the two stories is true, the gifting of this doll to Robert Eugene marked the beginning of the horrors and haunting that were to follow for years. Okay, I forgot that that was the other story. If I'm to believe these two stories, I would think, just even looking at the doll, the picture that they show in this book, it looks like an old doll that would have been made in Germany. I choose to believe that that's the real story. This other story is so insane, but also sounds like something that has happened in America with slaves. I mean, it's so different and so much more elaborate compared to, oh, the guy went to Germany and brought a doll back for his kid. Like, what the? Maybe the people who told this were like, that's not a good enough story. Let's make up a better one. Well, I don't know how you can fact check either of these, but someone who listens to this episode, please tell me if you've heard proof of either. Continuing on. From that point on, the young boy became incredibly attached to his doll, and people would routinely see him taking it along when playing outside or walking the streets, all the while talking to the toy doll. The first signs that there might have been something strange about Eugene's toy doll were rather harmless and ascribed to merely the child's shenanigans. Household items and various objects would sometimes be thrown around the place or broken. Naturally, the parents would blame their son and reprimand him. However, the boy would always point to the doll and say, it was Robert that did it. I just got goosebumps reading that. I mean, that's creepy. That's creepy. Is that second story true? Do you guys know if that's true? Like, is that what happened? The servants being locked and stuff? Does anyone know more about this story? Oh my gosh, the chat is telling me now. Shannon said, the servant made it. It was supposed to be a sort of voodoo doll. Yeah, that makes sense. They're doing voodoo and then they get kicked out and they go, wait, here, have this doll as a gift. And the mom goes, okay, fine. Dude, they just left basically a ticking bomb or like basically in that day and age, a hidden camera. They can control and do things from a distance with that voodoo doll. That is insane. The stupid lady for keeping the doll. Okay, that's freaky. I didn't even think about that. Maybe the story will get into that. Let's keep reading. Eugene also began to get irritated when his parents referred to him by his full name. He would warn them not to call him Robert Eugene Otto and to call him instead Eugene or Gene, his nickname. He was reserving his first name for supposedly inanimate companion. For his inanimate companion, it wasn't me, Robert did it, became something of a standard thing for Eugene to say when accused by wrongdoing. The boy would sometimes also have nightmares and get loud and restless in his sleep. His parents would then enter the room with haste to see what happened, only to be greeted by a scene where furniture and other items were shoved about and displaced. It was Robert, Eugene would always explain, pointing at the doll. As some stories suggest, his parents claimed they would sometimes hear the doll chuckling and even move around the house. I mean, this seems like common stuff from a disobedient kid. You misbehave and you blame it on the doll, or you have like a personality disorder or something and you think the doll's alive. And also when you're a young kid, you know, you blame inanimate objects. But there are also supernatural things that you hear about a lot of times. So what could it be? You never know. Let's see if something like more. I was gonna say, like, maybe the parents, if they heard something and the kid was with them, that would be weird. So maybe something that'll happen. But also, now that they're freaked out by what the kid's saying, they're gonna maybe put things in their head and think they're hearing things. But it's weird when two people hear things together. I hope something cool happens. There are a few more pages, so it seems like I could discuss some juicy stuff coming up. Strange incidents continued through the years, and Eugene never let go of Robert, even in early adulthood. I mean, maybe it's part of like how, maybe it's part of how the kid was brought up, where he's latching to the doll because you have crappy parents. You're like starting him off on a bad route, and he's not going to mature the right way. I don't know. I'm just projecting and assuming things here. Let's continue. Even in early adulthood, at around age 19, people would still see him taking the doll with him down the street, talking to it. Some sources claim this was the time when his parents decided to move to France, leaving Robert behind. He would be locked in a wooden chest in the attic. So I wonder if he had like handicaps, like a mental handicaps or something. Did they ever talk about that? Without Robert, Eugene lived a healthy and reasonably fulfilling life. Okay, well, that's good. And even got married later. Okay, so I guess he was just kind of crazy about the doll. Later on, he decided to move back to his house in Florida with his wife. Oh, no. With his wife, Anne, and make a life in his childhood home. As the story goes, Eugene completely forgot almost everything about Robert the doll, especially the chest where they left him before moving. Upon finding him, the past began to flood back into his life, and he found himself inseparable with Robert once again. No, this is a crazy story. His peculiar behavior, such as taking the doll with him outside and talking to it, was hardly becoming of a grown married man. He quickly got a reputation as an eccentric, wacky artist. Eugene's wife was especially troubled by his behavior, and his wife forced him to keep Robert strictly in the dome area above the second story of the house. Eugene's strange conduct continued, and he allegedly began to have violent outbursts against his wife as well and became an abusive man overall. Dude, if this is voodoo, I like kind of believe this. I have goosebumps all over right now. This is nuts. Wow, this is a crazy story. At one point, he even locked Anne in the old outhouse for 3 days. When she got out, he blamed Robert just like he would back when he was a little boy. So he had, something's going on with this dude, and he's just projecting it upon the doll. He subsequently proclaimed Robert the head of the house, built furniture for him, and even demanded that he be fed regularly before anyone else. Okay, dude, this is insane. This guy freaks me out. Other people who visited the Otto home would sometimes report hearing steps upstairs as if the doll was walking around, and frequently heard Eugene talking to his toy doll when he was alone with it. And at times, even sounded as if Robert was hurting him. And Eugene was begging him to stop. I mean, this is like, this guy needs to talk to someone. He has something going on. Further reports came from children who'd walk past the house on their way to school or home. They reported seeing the doll appear and then vanish from the windows in the dome top of the artist's house, moving around the attic as if it were alive. Many of them grew afraid of the house and would steer well clear of it, while other children perceived it as something of an attraction in the neighborhood. I'm going to break this down. I'm going to be a devil's advocate and a little bit of a skeptic here. But when you see a man carrying a doll around, the house gets known. People go, oh, that's the house where we see the dude carrying the doll around his yard and walking down the street. The house gets a name in the neighborhood. And then you just know about the guy. Then when you walk past the house, you say, I saw the doll in the window. And it becomes folklore and tale. And you might even think you see it because you've heard so much about this. So that, I don't really take, there's not much weight to these people saying they see the doll. I want to hear some more hard facts. This stuff, that's the most interesting stuff to me. After years of this horror, Eugene passed away in 1974. Some stories suggest that even Eugene's death was bizarre. In particular, that he was found dead in the attic of the house, which was by now the quarters designated entirely as Robert's dwelling. Freakishly enough, Robert was supposedly on top of Eugene's body with his hands around his neck. That sounds like folklore. Soon after that, Anne decided to sell the house and move back to her homeland, leaving both Roberts behind. Yeah, get out of there, lady. One would assume that there must be a great deal of exaggeration in these stories, or at least some of them. Yeah, totally. Or perhaps there could be some explanation if you disregard a lot of the reports and testimonies. Could it be that Eugene suffered from severe mental problems from a very young age? At times, some of the stories point to a level of insanity plaguing this man. Some occurrences resemble symptoms of a multiple personality disorder. However, other than the fact that so many stories cropped up during Eugene's lifetime, there is one more factor to consider when contemplating the legitimacy of the legend. This simple fact is the story doesn't end with Eugene. Oh, dude, we got another page on our hands. What the heck? This is nuts. Okay, if it continues with the kid, I'm already gonna say it runs in the family. If it's the kid, the guy's son, it's a mental illness. But let's see what it's all about. I often disappoint myself by using logic. I just want to go, ow, it's all so spooky. That's right, it wasn't over for the people around the cursed doll. It wasn't long after Eugene's death that the new owner of the house, okay, now that's crazy. It's not in the family. Here we go. Something nuts is going to happen. This is what I'm pumped for. This is what I'm here for. We're ending this podcast episode with some true spooky juice. Here we go. That's right. It wasn't over for the people around the cursed doll. It wasn't long after Eugene's death that the new owner of the house, Myrtle Reuter, settled in with her young daughter. Naturally, curious as a child always is, the girl soon came across Robert the doll, who was left collecting dust in the attic under the dead dude. They just left everyone there. The story has it that the little girl quickly became acquainted with the curse that Robert had carried. She reported that he tormented her in different ways and that he was trying to hurt her. Just like before, people who came to the house sometimes said strange noises coming from the attic, and Myrtle Reuter took notice as well and believed the doll move around the house. See, there's a D. There's definitely a typo there. Moved around the house. After quite a while of putting up with small-scale paranormal incidents and unpleasantness, Reuters decided to get rid of the doll, and she donated it to a local museum in 1994. Why doesn't anyone ever burn it? As she had already become something of an urban legend by then, he attracted scores of people from all over to come see him with their own eyes. Believers, skeptics, as well as various enthusiasts visit Robert to this day. Furthermore, he regularly gets letters from those who have and would love to visit him alike. Interestingly enough, some of those letters are apologies from former skeptics who didn't believe but found themselves under an avalanche of misfortune after their visit, especially in the case with those who disrespected Robert, just like that motorcycle cop couple. Many people say there is one thing that Robert sees as disrespectful, and that's taking pictures of it without permission. As silly as it sounds, there have been letters sent to the museum in which people apologize for photographing him since their life went entirely downhill after the fact, leaving them feeling cursed. So they probably wrote letters to, like, reverse the curse. The misfortunes reportedly include divorces, deaths of loved ones, financial ruin, car accidents, and other mishaps that may befall onto anybody. So basically, life. There is even a warning sign at the museum urging visitors not to photograph Robert. As can be expected, there are also letters sent by people asking for life advice for Robert to curse their enemies and rivals. While the replies that come from the museum are from employees, the curse received is undoubtedly not. Whether the voodoo doll that has enchanted Robert the doll with evil powers is real or not, his exhibition in the museum has undoubtedly captivated a lot of people and cemented his legend and popularity like never before. That story is When Dolls Stop Being Toys, in Hannah J. Tidy's book titled Ghost Stories, a compilation of horrifying true ghost stories. That was pretty good. We got two spooky ghost stories in this episode. Sorry, excuse me. We got two spooky possessed doll stories in this episode. That's a first. I don't think I've read of any possessions, specifically of objects, at least, on the podcast. So that's a good new episode we had on our hands. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please like and review the podcast, if you will. Send your own stories on the Anchor app. You can record yourselves and send your own stories in, and I will edit them in. The recording of your own voice can be in the episode. So please do that if you have anything good to tell me. And if you want to support the podcast, you can on Patreon, and I think you can become a member in Discord. I should know that, but I don't know how anything works, and I don't know where people are supporting me. But I think you can do that in Discord, and you can definitely do it on Patreon. Thanks for listening, everyone. I appreciate it. Talk to you later. And now for the bonus segment, a tale of true horror from one of our listeners. Paul Jordan is going to tell us the story of a ghost occupying a hotel. Lay it on us, Paul.
This is from 2015, whenever I first moved to Kansas City, my wife got a job here. And so we moved to Kansas City. And my first job was I worked at the Hyatt doing night auditing. I actually did that part of the time and did normal hotel like check-ins and stuff the other part of the week, but that's neither here nor there. But I had some weird experiences at this hotel, and I actually have a picture of a ghost from the hotel. The part that I like saw myself was I was by myself. After the night audit, I was in the office, and if somebody walks by, I'm supposed to help check them in. And I saw this lady go by, and I went to go help her, and I looked around, and there's just nobody there. So I don't think a lot of it. I just said, man, I saw this lady, and I talked to the housekeeping manager, and I told her, like, yeah, I saw this lady last night walk by. And I was going to go help her to see if she needed anything, and nobody was there. I looked all over the first floor, and, like, she didn't have time to go up any stairs or anything. And she's like, oh, that was a ghost. She's a nice ghost. So it was, like, a known thing that there were ghosts in this hotel. And so she's like, oh, that's a nice ghost. She shows up in the lobby sometimes, which I thought was very eerie that they just accepted it already, that the people saw things. At least I'm not crazy, or at least I've had people joined in my craziness. But that was weird that she said, oh, that's our ghost in our hotel. So the last part of this Hyatt place ghost was that one time a housekeeper, she only spoke Spanish, but, a housekeeper came down really scared. And this was like maybe early evening, maybe 5 or 6, could have been 7, comes down and she says she saw a ghost at the end of one of the hallways, and she took a picture of it. She took a picture of this ghost sitting on like the heater, air conditioning unit. that they have in the hotels. And I asked for that picture, and it is extremely eerie. It's like this shadowy figure with no face that you can see. She sent it to, she took the picture on my, on her phone, and they sent it to me because I was like, oh, I have to have this picture. So if you want the picture, I'd love to send it to you, but very eerie, very.
Okay, that's a pretty good one, especially if there's a photo. Yes, Paul, I definitely want to see this. To everyone listening, if you'd like to see this photo of the ghost in the hotel, get in my Discord. The Discord is called Nathan Station, discord.gg/NathanStation. Paul, send it to me, post it in Discord, send it to everyone. We gotta see this. Thank you very much for the story. If anyone else has any stories, send them to me on the Anchor app or the Anchor website. It's a podcast website where you can upload things and DM me voice memos directly. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.